Before we get into our Survivor 37 finale feedback show, I want to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Grove Collaborative. And here with me to talk about it is our Grove Collaborative expert here at our house. And that's the First Lady of Podcasting, Nicole Cesarino. Nicole, how are you?
I am good.
Nicole, holiday season. I know you've been celebrating for several weeks now already. Of course, so much wonderful time with friends and family coming by the house, but so much cleaning to do.
Yeah, it's frowned upon to have parties with a dirty house.
Okay, well, I do have some good news for you that Grove offers Mrs. Meyer's holiday scents. They've got a great exclusive offer from Grove before it runs out with holiday-scented cleaning products. Iowa pine, peppermint, orange, clove, and new customers will get the holiday gift set when they place an order of $20 featuring free Mrs. Meyer's holiday hand soap, holiday dish soap, free Mrs. Meyer's holiday multi-surface spray, Grove Collaborative red cleaning caddy, Grove Collaborative walnut scrubber sponges. Plus, if you spend $39, you'll receive a free Grove stoneware tray to beautifully display your new holiday soaps, Nicole.
Ooh la la. You know what you do not get in that offer?
What?
Toxic chemicals.
Yeah. So what is Grove Collaborative all about?
It's clean, effective cleaning products. And when you have small kids, it's kind of what you need because they put their mouths and dirty, disgusting hands everywhere.
Yes, especially this time of year, you want to keep everything nice and clean. Don't want any harsh chemicals. And that's
Santa
not what...
Santa doesn't like it.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, you're going to want to shop Grove before this exclusive holiday offer runs out. This stuff will be gone after December. So for a limited time, our listeners who sign up get the amazing free Mrs. Meyer's holiday products, a free 60-day VIP membership, and a surprise bonus gift for you when you sign up and place an order of over $20. So check out Grove and their special offer at grove.co/rob. That's grove.co.com/rob.
Happy cleaning.
Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who may legitimately never hear the story about David versus Goliath again after today. I am Rob Cesarino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast on our special closeout edition of David versus Goliath. And we've got a jam-packed show for you here today. Now, originally, traditionally, we have Josh Wigler with us here in the studio to talk about everything, but Josh is back home and dealing with the loss of his great cat Pardo. And so while that he is taking some time away from all things Survivor, we have a scheduled guest to be here with us to sit in and talk about everything. Please welcome the great Brett LaBelle.
Yes, we will do this. Yes. It's great to be here. I can't believe I'm in studio, Rob. This is so cool.
Yes, Brett, so excited to have you here. But Brett, it's so nice to have you, but really it takes two people, I think, to fill in the shoes of Josh Wigler.
Well, I'll tell you what, you're absolutely right. And, you know, I want to give my condolences to Josh and Emily and the cat. Pardo, that's awful news. And I wish he was here because I love him dearly. But so we decided to bring in one of our favorite crybabies from the Dirty 30, Tyler Fredrickson, who doesn't do anything but complain about millennials versus Gen X. So
Rightfully,
Chris Hammonds and I adopted him for the last 2 nights.
Oh.
And we've been having a lot of fun.
There it is.
Tyler.
Thank you.
Tyler, who are you driving Brett around this weekend week?
I am the driver for
the designated driver
for the Gen X's.
Somebody needs to drive
all
me
the Gen X'ers
drinking.
Okay, yeah, because Brett is gonna celebrating the Survivor finale week, and so you are helping him get from place to place.
It's pretty much my lot in life now.
Yes. Yeah.
For all the crap I've given these guys in the past, now my job is just to drive a car.
And I feel like between the two of you, that if we combined you into one person, between Brett's quick wit and, incredible likability And then Tyler, you bring in like the analytical perspective and the writer perspective. And if we can just go make you into one person, I think
Planet.
We could have a whole Josh Wiggler almost.
Wiggler is
exactly. That's a great. That's good. I like it. And you know, I will say that this is, you know, we are here to talk all things The Crying Game, you know, because that's what we had going on.
I don't think you should keep calling it that. I feel like that there.
I don't know. I think we saw more evidence today, you know?
So, yes, we're going to talk about everything going on from the Survivor David versus Goliath finale here today with Brett and Tyler, and we're going to take your feedback questions and much more here today. So I'm excited for this one.
I am too. I'm so excited to be here, to be in studio. I see it in person. It's just amazing. I've always done this podcast, but I've done it from my house, and this is really cool to be.
You've done more than just from your. You've traveled more miles than Dan Foley did auditioning for Survivor to be on RHAP events. You've been in Toronto and in Nova Scotia and
Brett
Austin.
is a great supporter of of everything we do.
Guys, he does is travel around.
The fans love to see him in the different cities, so we are so happy to have you.
Thank you, Rob. Haters gonna hate. You know what I'm saying? But no, you know what it is. The Rob has a podcast community. It's been wonderful to me, and they probably aren't that nice to you because all you do is shit on me. But they've been great to me, and they've been and Rob's been good to me. So when they call and they want to see Brett LeBlanc, they want me to participate in some sort of a, you know, podcast or in a show, I'm there. I sing the Rob as a podcast theme.
Yeah, and we don't need to sing
Tyler,
it today.
What do you bring to the table?
They have no choice but to be nice to you because you're the only person they ever listen to. There's no other people on this show but millennials versus Gen Xers. How else do they have? Okay. They have no options.
I don't see anyone complaining besides you.
Well, all right. We've got a lot of stuff to get to. Of course, people are buzzing about all of the content that we put out post the finale. We had a great Survivor Know-It-Alls with Dom Abate and Chrissy Hofbeck. That's up on robisawebsite.com. And then this morning I spoke with the final six from the Survivor David versus Goliath cast, and it was,
how'd that go?
It went great.
One of the most deal, right? Forget Edge of Extinction, this was edge of your seat to listen to my interviews with the final six. Brett,
I can't wait to listen. That's hysterical. I mean, you know, listen, they've been through a lot. This cast has been through a lot. There's been a lot of emotions. There's been a lot of crying. There's been a lot of bad food. I mean, they've been through a lot, and I feel for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we had we talked with, obviously, the winner, Nick Wilson, the runner-up, Mike White, everybody from the final six.
Wow. That's going to be a good podcast. That's out now?
That's out. That's
out. You
can
listen to that right now.
You could listen to it right now if you wanted to. And if you haven't listened to it yet, then I feel like that we had one of the most highly contested exit interviews that we've ever had. Maybe not since Dan Foley has.
With Angelina?
No, with Mike White. Where
Mike White.
He was not thrilled with the coverage. And I felt like we had a good discussion about what was going on there. He felt like that I had been too hard on him this season, didn't give him enough credit, talked too much about different movies.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I got to say, Rob, I haven't heard it all, but I've from what I've seen and what I've heard, I agree with Mike White. I agree that you weren't actually that nice to him. And I'm going to side with him on this. And
yeah,
I love him. I loved School of Rock, one of my favorite movies. It's, mm-hmm. it's hysterical. Ned Schneebly's great role. And the guy's tremendous. And I think he did a great job out there. I think he was part of a lot of the flip votes and stuff like that. And I think, my thing with Mike was what I was worried so much about him, Rob, was the fact that I thought nobody would vote for him because he's, you know, a successful guy in Hollywood. So that I said, I think he can get there. I think he's got the chops. But I'm just worried that when he gets to the end, will somebody give him $1 million? But
yeah,
I thought he did a tremendous job. I think he's wonderful. And he's right. You really downplayed a lot of stuff that he did.
I don't think I downplayed. Maybe I didn't play up enough. But, you know, that's never my goal, to have the castaways, you know, be so angry with the coverage of what I'm doing on the show.
Well, I mean, you know, not for nothing, Rob. I remember when you and Fishy didn't yes. give me a lot of credit my whole season, too. And I actually, when in my exit interview, I literally called you out. I called you guys all out, and you were very apologetic, very, oh, we love you, Brett. You're great. So I kind of, I feel what Mike White's feeling. In fact, it's bringing me back to when I came off the red carpet, and yes, you treated me like complete garbage.
Here we
now
go.
I'm getting mad.
Here we go.
You know?
I treated you like garbage?
Well, I might be embellishing a little bit, but it definitely felt like, you know what I mean? Like, there was over the course of the season, there was like, Brett's going this week. Brett's going this week. Brett's got no chance. So, but no. We've worked all this stuff out over the years, Rob. We're not going to get back to you, but I just want you to kind of look and say, I kind of understand where Mike's coming from. Like, he's a fan. He listens to your podcast.
Yeah.
All he hears is this negativity from you, Rob. What's going on with you, Rob? I think this is about you, not Mike White.
Well, I would say that I feel like, and I said this with Mike, that I felt like that his game really kicked into high gear towards the end of the game. And maybe I did not see enough on the show. But I mean, in terms of like the building blocks of getting to where he put himself in a position to make big moves at 7 and at 6. And I felt like that we started talking about it coming early on. It seemed like that he seemed more upset with me not giving him more credit in the first half of the season. And I do feel like that I had been, you know, pretty generous in terms of these last few weeks when I feel like that he's sort of made a run. But I mean, both of you went through things on this show where, you know, maybe on the podcast or in the blogs, people don't give enough credit to what you're doing. I mean, how do you handle that?
Yeah, I mean, we all listen, you know,
because I'm sure it's frustrating.
It's absolutely frustrating. And listen, there's, you know, people come up to me, and go, why didn't you do this? It's like, of course I did that. Why didn't you look for an idol? I get that all the time. Why didn't you look for an idol? Adam looked for an idol. Mm-hmm. David looked for an idol. I'm like, everyone looks for idols. I mean, do you think that there's people that really go out there and say, yeah, I'm not looking for an idol. I'm just going to sit around. It's all about the edit, folks. It's 3 days put into 1 hour, you know, and, you know, about Mike White, too, is I loved his game where he pulled a David Wright, right?
Mm-hmm.
That little weasel. He immediately ran out looking for an idol. They caught him, and he was smart enough to say, this is like the first episode. He's like, wait a minute. I'm playing too fast here. I got to slow it down. And I really respected the fact that he was able to kind of say, wait a minute, I got to tone it down, to the point where people forgot about it, you know, by the vote, and he wasn't the name brought up. But, you know, so, yeah, I mean, I think we listen, there's not one happy person that comes out. I mean, even the winners, like, I'm sure if you talk to Adam Klein, he's got some problems with some of the ways things that were missed or things that weren't said. Yeah, I mean, we all kind of have those gripes, you know, Tyler, mm-hmm. You must.
Well, I think what Rob, I'm just listening to the Mike White of it all, I think you brought up a really great point, which is you don't know what you're talking about, Rob. No, we don't know what it's going to look like. We don't know what edit's going to hold in weeks coming.
Mm-hmm.
But part of your job is to have a take. It's what you and Josh always talk about. We got to have a take. We got to say something when they pay us the big bucks, right? So we say something, but we don't really know. And ultimately, if it ends up not being right, you know, the joke's on you. And I think you handle it. I think you do that pretty well, Rob.
Well, I mean, I'm not Nate Silver over here where that I have like some, you know, a system of like, you know, we really trust our data in mm-hmm. terms of like our predictions are never wrong. We watch a TV show. We talk about what happened. We try to, you know, we have a few laughs and make some jokes about, you know, things that we see on the show. And we say, like, this is what I think is going to happen. And if we say that somebody will do bad, and then they do good, they get to say, you idiot,
right.
you stupid moron.
Now, yeah. So that's the difference, Rob, because that's what I said. You know, that's what I always felt like. That's what we kind of made fun of and we joked about it. And you're right. I mean, you can only go.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, the insides, the outsides. But when you're podcasting about the episode or the show, you can only go with what you're shown. Right.
Right.
I mean, you say that all the time. Right. And that's totally
and
true.
It's something that Steven himself struggled with when he went back. And I'm sure it's, you know, everything is much easier from, you know, this chair in terms of like being able to break it all down. There's a million things that we don't see. And we do the best that we can. And hopefully we get it right. But, you know, it was a lot going on there with the exit interview. Allison also very emotional in the exit interview. Nick did a really great job of talking about his game. So I thought all of the final six that they were really great on that exit interview podcast. So be sure to check that out if you haven't listened to it yet.
Yeah, and Allison's great, man. I mean, I talked to her last night, and she's very sweet. And here's a perfect example. I don't know if I can mention another podcast. Is that okay? Or
yeah, go for it.
Yeah, because you don't have me on the assessment. But you and Corinne used to do the brutal assessment, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, that we did not do it this season.
Right.
But it has not been canceled.
Right. Yeah, so you know, it's you know, it's down in Australia, and they asked me, they're so nice, and they asked me every year to do the cast assessment, so I do it, and you don't know anything about these folks, and you try to, you know, figure out what everyone's doing by reading about them, and it's so hard to do. And so I just said, Allison seemed to me like, you know, some of the stuff she'd written in, I didn't think she was going to do that well. And of course I said, and she was very sweet. And she texted me, hopefully I prove you wrong. And she's very nice about it. But, you know, and there's some other people that were extremely angry. Well, here's what happened. Because you guys didn't do your assessment, I figured nobody's listening to this. I don't have to worry about what I say. None of these survivors are going to listen to this.
Yeah.
Well, because you didn't do yours, everyone listened to mine. And of course now, like if anyone's ever listened to Corinne's brutal cast assessment, anything I said on this thing was so meek and so like not even that important, and they were flipping out. People were tweeting me, they were so upset, and I'm like, folks, I'm sorry, I you know, I'm trying to be nice, I'm going by what you wrote. You wrote that you were bossy and you don't get along with people. Well, that's not a good trait to have when you go on Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, but so that's a perfect example of, you know, Allison wasn't happy with that, but you know what, she took it really good. She laughed about it, and we joked about it last night that she did very well.
Yeah.
You
know? Okay. Well, this is some great, you know, sort of meta commentary in terms of, you know, what it's like to go through this experience. But let's talk about what we actually saw in David versus Goliath. Ultimately, we saw Nick go on a big run here at the end of the season, Holloway-esque to some degree.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, Mike is one of the best competitors we've had in the last, you know, he's incredible. But for me, it felt more Michelle Fitzgerald a little bit. Like, I felt it was kind of like the right time at the right moment.
Yeah.
You kind of do what you need to do, and he did it, and he got the victory.
Yeah, it's interesting because I'm not sure if he necessarily would have been voted out at six. So it wasn't necessarily like his back was against the wall in that regard. But it you know, in sort of like trying to, you know, parse this out with the finalists or with the final six, it seems like that he would have been, maybe his name would have been in the discussion if he had not won at five. And then he would have probably been in the fire making at four. And we don't necessarily know how he would have fared there. But, you know, an impressive run for Nick, who had not won any immunities down the stretch. Brett, do you have any thoughts on Nick as the winner?
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, going into this episode, I said this was the race of Davey and Nick. I thought they both played great. I thought, I thought they both were, they really turned it on when they needed to. And I would have been happy with either of them winning. And I would have been happy with Mike White winning as well. I thought that he was really instrumental in some of the votes and stuff like that. But I really like Nick. I love his story. I love how he just wouldn't give up. He was tenacious. He he did a lot out there to stay in it. And yeah, it's very Michelle Fitzgerald, because he needed those. He was gonna go if he didn't get that immunity, and he did it three times in a row. It was absolutely amazing. So I think it was a great episode. I think it was a great win, and I'm happy for him.
I always like to look at this stuff with, you know, one eye on the present, but then also like looking ahead to the future. Now, season 38 has already been filmed, but the season 39 people that are going to play the game in terms of, okay, what is the lesson that they learn from Nick winning Survivor, Brett?
Well, I think they learn that. I don't know. What do they learn? That's a good question, Tyler.
I think you're never out. I mean, what's interesting about Nick is, and I think so powerful, silly word, but is that he probably was going to go out first, right? Had there not been Pat and the medevac, it looked like Nick's back was against the wall. I'm talking day two, day three.
Yeah.
So for him to actually, it's kind of a neat character arc for him to have such problems.
Now, Nick did say in my exit interview, he says, you know, he still has a hard time counting six votes against him at that first tribal council, but his name was definitely on the block at that first vote.
Yeah, and you know, he was sneaking around, he was doing all the stuff, and I mean it just shows you how crazy this game is. You can be the on the bottom in the first vote, and literally you just don't know. So it's, so you know, we always say it, and you saw it a lot in this season. You just got to get through three more days, everything can change, and it's so true. And we saw it so many times in this, you know.
So I think that the thing that people are going to really take away from Nick's victory is that the way that he went about making all of these alliances with people, and specifically that he went about naming all of these alliances of like, okay, hey, let's have this, let's have this, let's have this. I wouldn't be surprised if we go to Survivor 39 and there's like four or five people that are thinking about this. And we have a season where now we need like a chart where there's like, okay, this person is this aligned. This person and this person is this aligned. This person and this person is aligned. Like all, like this was like all the roads were through Nick. But I think that we could see, you know, a bunch of people trying this and having, you know, 17 different simultaneous final twos happening in the game. And coincidentally, that Mike, who was in a, had a final two deal with Nick, that he was also working on this same sort of strategy where, you know, Allison was talking about that, that Mike White had deals with Allison and Angelina and Nick and Kara. And so to have, you know, all of these, you know, simultaneous deals, you know, happening, I guess that's really not too new on Survivor, but I think that the thing that Nick probably really added to it is, you know, having these names of all these final two deals.
Yeah, and you know, the funny thing was, I was annoyed by that with all his, I was like, why does this kid keep naming these things? But I'll tell you what, when he was, it just seemed ridiculous to me. But you know what? When he mentioned all these things at the final tribal, people were laughing and smiling. They seemed to really enjoy that they were in a named alliance with Nick. And so I was, it made me think maybe that wasn't such a bad, maybe that was a good move on his part. As a viewer, I was annoyed by it. But I think, you know, when you're sitting there and you're with those people. Now, Mike White said something very interesting. He said that he had several different alliances with people. Adam Klein and me, we after the merge, we had a side alliance where we were kind of looking out for each other. And, you know, I think that's important. But I think with like Mike White, when you have that many people that you have a side alliance with, you know, all it takes is one or two of them to go, well, he's going to side, you know, where I'm going, I'm going to final two with him. Well, no, I'm going to final two with him. And then they realize it could backfire on you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I think you got to be very careful with doing that kind of stuff, because if you're promising it to everybody, it could get back to people and they realize he's full of shit, you know?
Yeah. The thing that I think is really interesting about this too, Tyler, is that, you know, we have a final three. But there's a lot of talk about, you know, final twos of like, hey, this is our final two. This is our final two. And, you know, we talked about with the fire making that, okay, people were going to make alliances of four. But I wonder if that because you win the fire and then you take the other person, is that causing people to make twos?
Is it causing them to make twos?
Yeah.
You know, it's hard, man, because you, everybody's got these dreams, right? We make the merge. That just gets to the merge. And then once there, it's, well, if we get a final seven, then we know that we've got, you know, well, we got four, at least, you know, four to take out three and, you know, just keep working that way. And then we get our fourth. To your point, I think you are making a lot of final two deals. But it does seem like, and you and Steven talked about this on one of the know-it-alls recently, getting to a four, you know, the final four, it's not on you anymore. To, you know, you don't have to vote anybody out. It's not, hey, we'll turn on each other at that point. It's letting the game take over at that point. It's a fire making challenge, right? It's out of our control. I don't know if I answered your question. That was kind of sloppy, but actually I had a question for Brett. I wanted to ask you, cause I know that Josh and Rob talked about it. Do you think that naming an alliance actually goes a lot further?
Do you and Chris Hammonds have a name for your alliance?
Well, I refer to Chris as my bitch, but I don't think we, so I would say, No, we never really had. I'll say it right
Boomer
now.
Sooner, or that was Chris and Z.
I think Chris likes to call it the bromance because, you know, he wants to, you know, he's a closet latent homosexual. But no, I'm just kidding. But no, I think he called it the bromance or something like that. And he's tweeted out about it a lot and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, I mean I don't like. I think I didn't like the alliance thing, but I'm kind. I liked it after I saw Nick kind of. Like, he was going to each person and telling them, and they smiled, and they enjoyed it. And it's like, man, this kid's smart. Like, I would never have thought to do that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he talked about that in the exit interviews about how, you know, he had all these different alliances and was, you know, working with all these different people. And, you know, he had these great relationships throughout the season, and he was, you know, very flexible. And it seemed like that at the one point in the game where he sort of like was boxed in, where it's like, okay, I'm going to work with the Davids. I'm going to go to the end with them. Then he was sort of forced by the Gabby and Christian thing to have to then now go back out on his own and try to figure out a different way to get to the end, which ultimately was in his pre-swap tribe or pre-merge post-swap tribe.
Yeah. I mean, the kid's scrapped. There's no way about it. He, you know, and I, you know, it comes down to he's very social, very likable. it's a social game. I mean, I think I feel that, you know, Bond, I think the only time we really saw Nick uncool and flipping out was in the last episode when he was angry that, you know, that he wasn't part of the vote and Mike White had flipped it. And
well, that happened after Carl got voted out too.
Yeah, that's true too. Yeah. So, but you know, he's been very good about whatever he's upset to keep it inside and just go out there and work with whoever will work with him. You know what I mean?
Okay. I want to bring in some questions along the way. And so let me bring in a question. And this is from our good buddy, Matt Cerrone, has a question about the way that the fire making has gone down. And so let me bring in Matt.
Hey, Rob, it's Matt Cerrone. This is more of a statement than a question, but I'm curious if you guys agree. It took a couple seasons or three seasons, but I'm finally on board with the Final Four, with the fire challenge and all this stuff. I was against it at first, I think, like most people, but I see the value in it, which is basically gets us to being able to watch a Final Two, just like in the old days, which I think most people kind of prefer, but it also gets the show the opportunity to get that third person in there who ultimately just acts as an extra jury member and someone who can break a tie with the way it's been playing out. And it's not that dissimilar. I mean, you know, the winner of that final challenge gets to pick the person, which is how it used to be. And then ultimately that second legit contender is determined by a challenge, which is kind of the way it was back then too. And ultimately we get a final two people that argue with that third person, kind of like a firsthand experience, firsthand account of everything that transpired. And then if there's a tie, they can break it. So to me, it actually kind of all works out and feels a little old school, even though it's very new school and it's kind of convoluted and has a feeling of being a little unfair. I think ultimately the way it plays out is probably what the show wants to avoid, that person that goes out at four is everybody, you know, the Malcolm slot where everybody, you know, thinks they got screwed. It assures that person gets in and then they kind of take it from there and ultimately ends up with two people arguing just like it used to be. And so I actually kind of dig it. I hope it plays out that way going forward. And I'm wondering if you guys see it the same way. All right, cool. Sorry for taking up 90 seconds of this show. I appreciate it and have a good holiday, everybody. Okay. Bye.
Thank you, Matt Cerrone. Okay. Jeez. All right.
I didn't leave enough breadcrumbs to get home.
All right. All right. So, lost. So Matt has an interesting way of looking at this. We've seen this play out three times, and three times we've had sort of like an epic showdown in terms of who was going to win the season between Chrissy and Ben, and then between Dominic and Wendell, and then ultimately here between Nick and Mike, where it seems like that the two most deserving people in the end are sort of battling it out. And he says that basically that the way that the format works is sort of that we're picking the person who's going to be the zero vote finalist, sort of identifying them early, bringing them to the end. And then in the case of like a Laurel, they're going to be there to break the tie. And it does sort of set up a more epic showdown between two people. Is this an improvement from how we were doing it, Brett?
Well, I don't love it. I mean, I don't love it. The fire making challenge. It's playing out good. It's been some good drama. So, but I mean, me personally, I don't love it.
Yeah.
But that being said, I think Nick misplayed it this time. Granted, he won. So how do you say he misplayed it? But I think in future, if I was out there and I was ever in this position, I'm not going to tell Angelina that I'm taking her. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell Kara that I'm taking her.
This is what Dalton Ross was talking about.
Did he talk about this?
Yeah.
I said, why is he telling them so early? Like, don't tell anyone who's, because there were, you know what I mean? I mean, there's two schools. You tell nobody and then they all practice, or you tell the person that you definitely don't want to win so that they don't practice. I mean, it's kind of interesting, you know?
Yeah. So in the case of Millennials versus Gen X, and, you know, Adam was here a year ago on this show where, you know, the day after the finale, and we were talking about when the twist first came out, and Adam really did not like it. In your season, it probably would have set up instead of where Adam is winning 10-0. Now it's probably, you know, whoever is making the fire And, you know, a lot of people said that, you know, and that's, you know, Dirty Dave.
Yeah, yeah,
is that was sort of like one of the things that was his forte.
Yeah.
But so if it's Adam and Dave now in the finals and, you know, I don't know who they bring with them, then I feel like that it does set up maybe a closer showdown.
No, it's a Dave win.
It's
a
Dave win. Okay.
I mean, listen. Everyone, settle down. Settle down. Take a seat because I'm going to explain this exactly how I explain it to everyone. It doesn't mean you've heard everyone talk, but 2 years ago we had the Millennials versus Gen X. It doesn't matter what everyone thinks now. It matters what they thought when they were voted out in Fiji. Okay.
Okay.
And I'm telling you, I know everyone on the jury. I know everyone's ideas. And if you have, so who you tell me is in the final three?
Of what season?
Adam Klein, yeah. Millennials versus Gen X.
I guess they bring Hannah to the end.
Okay, so you have Hannah.
Yeah. Well, no, actually, who won the immunity? Who won the? It was it Ken.
Ken. Yeah. So you had Ken. So you had the four there. So he probably brings Ken or Hannah, right? And then you have Dirty Dave is fighting out now.
Yeah.
Now Dave, my boy, he can light a fire. There's no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm.
And
I don't want to get too in the weeds on this, but
right,
just
okay,
yeah.
No, so I'm going to say this. If Dave makes fire and it's Adam, Hannah, and Dave, I believe Dave Wright wins hands down.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Adam. Adam, you know, was great. He deserved to win. He played hard and everything. But I'm just telling you, I think the people on that jury would want Dave to win.
Ugh, more Millennial Gen X.
Tyler is a mood.
Well, he's Mr. Dirty 30 angle.
Well, look, I was hanging out with Chris and Brett for the last couple of days. This whole finale thing. And honestly, besides just being Brett's valet and driving him up here, I just thought we'd hang out for a little bit. I did not intend to be on the podcast. This is Brett's show. I'm kind of taking a step back.
Okay.
Listen, don't beat yourself up.
Okay.
You're doing fine.
You're doing great.
Well, tell me, that is the final four fire making. It did not loom large over this. And I kind of feel like that it was a good move on the part of the final four fire making twist to get a little bit under the radar. So it wasn't really top of mind for people to be talking about as a thing that they really don't like. That, do you feel like, is it working? Are people sort of wrapping their head around it, Brad?
I think people like it. I think crazy millennials love it. Here's my question.
Crazy millennials love it.
Well, not yet. Yeah. So here's my question for you, Rob. What do you think? Do you think that we are going to see in the future? Like, first of all, you're a moron if you come on Survivor and you can't make fire with a flint. You're a moron now. If you don't practice,
I don't think
this,
I could do it.
Right.
Yeah.
But you've told me you don't want to go back. I'm saying,
yeah.
Do you think that in the future we will see people that do not practice this and go out there and have no clue what to do when they get there?
I think that most people would probably practice it.
It's too late on the island. It's too late.
You got to practice it at home. But yeah. Did Josh Wiggler practice it before he went out to Ghost Island? And I don't think that he had any luck with it.
I don't think the pork chop made one fire now I think about it. You know?
On Ghost Island. Didn't they just have
pork chop?
No, he's losing some weight.
They just had torches on Ghost Island, didn't they?
That's my little pet name, bro.
They just walk up and have torches.
Does he know about this?
Yeah, I think he does.
Okay.
I love him. I'm just
having a rough week, Brett.
I know. I shouldn't call him that. I'm sorry. No name calling of the... Josh, His Highness Josh Wiggler. So it's very interesting. I'll tell you another thing that I noticed about the season. I don't want to jump ahead, but the idol thing, the idol nullifier.
Idol nullifier.
Now, what does that change? What does that change, Rob? I think it changes that you're a fool if you tell anyone that you have an idol.
You know what? I'm wondering, you know, you're going to put idol nullifiers out there, then is there more inherent risk to going out and looking for idols? Like, has the street value of an idol been decreased by the fact that there's now idol nullifiers out there?
Yeah, I mean,
do I have more to lose by going to go look for an idol?
Well, that's the thing, right? I mean, and then if you have it, you're a fool if you tell anyone, because if they know you have to, it's going back. Maybe it's good because it makes it people shut up about it.
Mm-hmm.
So many times I see people like Adam Klein, it screwed me with an idol, telling Hannah he had it.
Yeah.
When everyone was going to vote for him. And then they vote, you know, yes, we're back to millennials versus Gen X. Okay. But no, so it's just interesting. It's going to be interesting to see how these, you know, few things. And I think the fire is here to stay. Okay. I do. I think people like
yeah.
it. People like it. And nobody listens to Brett LaBelle anyway, so they'll probably keep it. But I think the nullifier is like, I don't know if that's going to last because I think there's so many, you know, idols are so cool. You can use them in so many different ways. But now it really forces you to really keep it quiet. Or like The only person I think I would have ever told that I had an idol would be maybe Sunday, because I could trust her with anything, you know? So you really can't really use them the way a lot of people are using them, you know?
Yeah, the idol nullifier just worked out so well in this season because they got played at the exact right moment. But I think that more often than not, I think it's going to be where the majority has the votes and that they're going to go ahead and, instead of doing the like a vote split, which sort of opens the door, they can use the idol nullifier. So I think it's going to turn into, more often than not, it's going to be, you know, stomping out the little guy to have the idol nullifier in play, because like when the idol works, it's like it preventing the person who is going to be, you know, the underdog from going out. And it's sort of like, haha, you thought you could get me, but you can't. Right. It's like, no, we did. And so somebody plays an idol and the votes were on them and it's like, great. But now like, here's some cold water on that.
Yeah, right. It's just so many stupid gimmicks and crap. I can't take it anymore. Like, can we just play the game? You know what I mean? And I guess it does. You want to keep it fresh and new. But I'm just like, oh, come on. What? Dan's got an idol. Yay, Dan's got an idol. Oh, wait a minute. Here's this stupid clay pigeon he pulls out of the pot. It says he's got... it's completely ridiculous.
Clay
I can't take it anymore, Rob.
You are so angry. Everything's a fool and a moron and a stupid. And
I thought you had a good week.
I did. Yeah. Well, I've been drinking a lot with this kid. I mean, he's on a bender.
With Tyler.
Yeah, he's on a bender. Someone has to be his...
I bought it as a joke, and I'm actually drinking one. Rob, do you actually think if the idol nullifier is played successfully or not, it doesn't really matter. Do you think it could be something that's then put back out into the game? Could we see it appear 2-3 times like a regular idol?
I guess so, but I mean, at this point, you know, why? You know, it was exciting to see it once, but I don't know how many times we need to see the idol nullifier in a given season.
The only thing I do want to see is I want to see David Wright be idol nullified out. With idol.
That's what you're hoping for?
Oh, yeah, that's
all right. We'll do some Edge of Extinction talk here.
Sorry.
In this podcast as we take a look back. So much of the, you know, highs and of this season were around different things that Angelina did in this season. And she had, easily, 5 or 6 just spectacular moments in this season. Brett, were you enjoying all of them?
A moment like
she had so many moments like this. And of course, last night had everything with that she was going to make the idol for Allison.
Oh, it's hysterical. My favorite part of that was when she makes the idol. And she's like, no, I just made it to confuse everyone. It's like, no, you made that to make her look stupid. Mm-hmm. It was great TV. I mean, let's face it. It was great to watch it. And I think my favorite moment was when... they ask Mike White a question, and Angelina literally raises her hand and takes the question.
Yes.
It was hysterical.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I loved it.
She was great. Do you think that we will see more rice negotiations moving forward, Brett?
Well, I will say this to future survivors, right? If you're going to do a rice negotiation, and this was very interesting, I think we will see more because it's it definitely took up some time and made some TV. But I think that if you're going to do that, don't, you know, this is to all future survivors who are going to play. If you're going to do a rice negotiation, do not offer up the entire camp.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's just Brett LaBelle talking, but you do whatever you want. But that to me is, and I'm sure that Angelina has a whole other, she's probably going to flow chart on how this was the right thing to do. But I'm telling you, it's probably not the best idea. Let Jeff tell you what you need to do, because why offer everything up if he's going to come back with you and just sit out a challenge?
You know, she did do a great job of that. She got rice for the tribe, but ultimately it was not seen as something that, you know, got her any votes in the end.
Right. And I think that she thought it would really get her a lot of votes. And clearly everyone was frustrated when she kept, because like several times along the way, she's reminded everyone that she sat out a challenge to get rice for them. And she reminded them. So by the time she mentions it at Final Tribal, they're so sick of hearing it, they threw it right back at her. They threw the rice right back at her. And it was...
like a wedding?
Yeah. So I think that was kind of a mistake. I think she'd probably agree with that, but I don't know. But no, she wouldn't agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that there's something there in terms of Survivor, like when you do something, and Davey called her out, like in terms of like, hey, if it's a selfless act, it's supposed to be a selfless act, and you're not supposed to keep talking about it. Where I think we've seen this, and maybe Richard Hatch in the first season had this in terms of like catching the fish and then being a provider in a different sense, and then not feeling like the group was appreciating, you know, what he was doing out there. In terms of catching the fish, you know, I think when you do something, when you are getting something for the tribe, I think you just have to do it and not, you know, remind people that they need to be appreciative for what you're doing.
Right. I mean, yes, exactly. I mean, you just do it. You do it. You make sure people see it. Everyone knows it. They know you're contributing, and then you move forward. I mean, that's just the way it is. And then, yes. If she mentioned it at the, hey, look, I did stuff for you. You mentioned it, then you mentioned it. If you didn't mention it six times along the way, and then you mentioned it if you just mentioned it at Final Travel, hey guys, don't forget, I sat this up, then maybe it has a little more spark to it than it does when you've been talking
you
about
need
it every day.
Like a wing person, you need like the, a third party to say like, a hype person where, if I take out the garbage at my house and then say to my wife, like, hey, remember when I took out the garbage? Like that's going to drive her crazy.
Right.
But if she's like, realizes the garbage was full and sees I just took it out, then she's, going to be, 1% happy.
Does the first lady of podcasting not like it when you don't take the trash out? Well, it just seems a little personal right now.
I mean, I'm just using that as an example.
Okay. All right.
You know, but it's the kind of thing where, if you have an office and you bring in donuts on a Friday, it's like, who brought in donuts? But if you go around to everybody,
don't make a cop joke out of it, right?
But if you go around like, hey, did you see the donuts on the table? Well, that was me.
Exactly.
Okay, we got it.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's all your delivery, right? I mean, that's what it comes down to. And the delivery wasn't that good on that one. So.
Yeah. The stuff with the ladder was so great.
Oh, hysterical.
Yeah.
The 5 feet, the 50 feet, the 100 feet. It's like, oh my God, this is crazy.
We loved it. It was really, really fun.
And she almost died.
She definitely. I don't
know you're laughing about it.
Yeah.
Mike White has a point.
okay. Let me bring in another voicemail question for you. And this is one about Kara's game. This is about Kara.
Hey there. This is Galo from Los Angeles. And something that didn't come up this season that I thought would was that Kara made it all the way through the game without having one single vote cast against her. Think about it. Pretty impressive.
Okay. Brett, Kara makes it all the way to Final Four. No votes cast against her the entire season. This was an impressive run.
Absolutely. And I think that Kara, after meeting her and talking with her, she's got a tremendous personality. She's very fun. She's very likable. I think that she probably, I think she got, listen, we all know the edits are crazy. They can only do so much. They have to show the winner and stuff like that. And maybe she just got lost in a little shuffle. I mean, there was a lot of her towards the end, but I think it's great. I think it shows her character. I think it shows how much people really liked her out there. And I think that it shows that she actually could have been in the, a contender if she made it to the final three.
Yeah, I really did think she coming into this finale that she was going to win. I did think that she was going to be able to make the fire making challenge, and not because I didn't think Mike White could do it. Well, it was because that they showed her a million times like how easy it was. And I guess that should have been the tell that she wasn't going to be able to do it. But Mike talked about how nervous he was and how he was just, hoping it was going to be over quickly. And she seemed like she had no issue with it. She seemed like rock solid going into that.
Yeah, she. I felt like watching it, I said, oh my God, she got a fire real quick. I said, boy, and Mike seemed very nervous. Mm-hmm. And I thought that she was going to come out on top on that. And I was like, she could actually pull this off. I said, she might actually get the win here.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking the same thing you were. I said, I wonder if this is going to go to Kara, the win. And I guess they fooled us because she was not able to get the fire as fast as Mike White.
Yeah. What did you
to think? Your dismay.
Yes. And what about Davey, who, was really fun this season? He goes out at six, has the great moment in the episode last night where he talks about how whoever did this, I am going to. You just got my jury vote.
Yeah, I love that moment almost as much as when Jay goes out and he gets fake titled out, and he says, "You guys got me. That was great. I thought Davey, that was great." Davey's like, "Listen, whoever just did that, you mm-hmm. have my vote." I mean, that's great sportsmanship. It's way better than I went out. And my hat's off to him.
It was a great moment, but I think that probably a lot of the viewers don't realize that he actually did vote for Nick. He didn't vote for Mike in the end. So he got that moment with the great sportsmanship. It was like, yeah. Oh my God, what a magnanimous gesture from Davey. And then I asked him about it this morning, and he said that, well, he's like, no, I was always going to vote for Nick.
That's great.
He's like, I just wanted to give Nick a wake up call of, hey, you got to make sure you make bigger moves. And I mean, who knows, you know, if that's the, you know,
just say, hey, Nick, wake up.
You know, but don't you think they had to go
wake up, Nick?
Like, I felt like those two had to go after each other. Like, I felt like that. I felt like it was a run between the two of them.
Davey and Nick needed to go after each other.
Davey and Nick, I felt like it was going to come down to both of them. It was kind of like a
Wendell
a
and Dom.
Wendell, Dom. Yeah. Dom Wendell-esque, where it's kind of like, you know, one of these guys got to go for each other because it can't be, you know, you don't want to be sitting next to them at the final trap.
Well, I do think that it was sort of a blessing in disguise for Nick to have Davey go out, where with Dominic and Wendell, like, had either of the other been picked off, where I think that Wendell had immunity at the final six. And you know, if Dominic would have got blindsided at the final six, like, that really does open the door, or vice versa, for the other one from that pair. Mm-hmm. You know, it's nice if, you know, your number one competition, you know, can get blindsided that you had nothing to do with, and then sort of like clears open the deck for you.
Yeah, no, I think it was great. And, you know, it helped Nick in the end, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay. We have so many questions here with Brett LaBelle.
Well, I'm very connected with the Rob Has a Podcast patrons, and I would expect nothing less than many questions for me right
with
now.
The with the whole community. Really, one of the most popular figures in all of Survivor podcasting, and yes. So lots of questions here.
Yes, keep talking about
for
that,
Brett
right?
Brett LaBelle.
Thank you. Yes.
All right. This is a great question from our good buddy Tommy Pizzullo. Says, do you think that Survivor should have a dress code for the final six? Something that Rob mentioned last year with Wendell and with Nick this year is that the person who thinks they won wears the most impressive outfit. Should CBS make them all wear the same outfit, not to spoil it? So coming into the, like, you know, we've had the last couple seasons, Jeff, like, everybody's on the stage. He's like, all right, let's take a look at everybody. Here's the, you know, the losers. They went out first. Then we've got the jury. And like, and now, oh, here, and last night he's like, here's where the money is. The people that are still in the game. But Nick and Davey were both wearing the suits last night.
Yeah, you know, it was funny, but we, I can't remember his name, the guy from Dirty 30. Oh, Tyler. Tyler had noticed that Nick's girlfriend was, Nick's girlfriend was wearing a very nice dress, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we said, so we're watching it.
So you think it's not even the Survivor contestants. You think that the loved ones that know they're going to be on TV, they get really dressed up.
She was decked out. And I got to give Tyler Fredrickson credit for that, because he was like, look at what she's wearing. And we tweeted out. Terry did. Fredrickson.
It's not that funny, Rob. Calm down.
It was brilliant, because it was like, look at how his family is dressed. Like, they're going to go up on stage. It's kind of like, yes, I agree with that, that it does kind of give it away. And we were all thinking it, and boy, did it come to fruition.
Well, even the final six, I mean, they all looked, I mean, the girls looked great. The guys were down, and then there's Mike White.
I mean, hey, what was wrong with what Mike was wearing, Tyler? Knock it off.
I haven't seen him.
Cut it
movie.
Out,
I'm
buddy.
Sure,
all right.
Why are you guys Timmy, stop hating on Mike White. You know what I'm saying?
But I thought they
give
they
it a rest,
great.
Tyler. So, yeah. Take it easy. All right. Speaking of Mike White, Caitlin Ash wants to know, what was the most underrated moment of the finale? Mike White yelling bitch at a branch that poked him in the eye while he was wandering around the woods with his glass of wine.
I love that. I thought that was great. Like, it showed, like, true, like, Mike's, like, he's just, like, he's tired. It's at the end of the game.
Yeah.
He's enjoying his wine. They're walking around. I thought it was hysterical. I was dying laughing.
He had a really funny finale.
Great edit. great at it. I shouldn't say great at it. It was funny. It was funny stuff. And he was just having a good time. And it was, you know, it was great.
Mm-hmm. Walking around with the wine.
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah. It was all great moments. All great moments. Okay. This is a question from Evan. Brett, you played in Fiji the same time of year. I'm curious about the fire situation. If you're making a big fire once that you basically just keep adding to for a month, or you make a new fire every day?
No, so what you do, the problem we had was, these guys had a lot of rain in the beginning. And these guys had a lot of rain throughout. But I will say this, we had a little rain in the middle. But those fires, if you keep them going and keep them going and keep them going, and Rob, you can attest to this, so can you, Tyler, is there's so many hot coals underneath. If you just keep the log coming, there'll always be something to spark. So as you get weeks into it, yes, it's much, even when it rains, it's still easier to get a fire going because you can always find some hot coals under the ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, we made two fires the entire season. It was the one to start the game, a day three or six or whatever. We were white collars, so it was deep into the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then once we come back from the merge, they had put everything out, raked the entire beach completely clean, spread new bamboo and palm fronds and everything out again. It was as if we had never been there. We had to make another fire there. And we had rain, and that was the two fires we made. We kept them going the whole time.
Yeah, you I mean, even with rain, as long as you have some coals there, right, you can keep it going. We used to love to get these, in Fiji, these big logs, these big, like, almost like the size of a tree, like they're, you know, they float around the ocean and they wash up on shore. And it takes about three people. They're so big. We used to drag them up and just lay them in the fire. So they're just continuously burning. It looks completely ridiculous. But I think you can see one on Ikebula if you go back and watch it. But it was great because the trees would burn slow and you would always have a fire. So if you went away for tribal council and it took you be there for hours, when you came back, the tree would still be burning a little bit, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's a miracle.
It was a miracle. Yeah. There's many miracles on Survivor.
Okay.
Like, how did David Wright find all those idols?
This is why nobody likes you, Rob.
Why?
Because you're snarky, you're making fun of Brett and the.
That's not making fun.
No, no, he's good. He's good. But he's right. I mean, there's a lot of miracles on Survivor. David Wright finding idols everywhere, flying through the air, dropping out of trees. You know, that's a miracle. You know?
Okay, here's a question from PineappleBoy27 on Twitter. He wants to know, would Brett rather be voted out first on a returnee season or make it to the final three and have the morning breakfast be Fijian pizza?
Listen, I know where he's going with this because everyone thinks you would drop the purple bag or whatever the hell it was and give up a challenge because the pizza sucked. The answer is yes. Now, would I want to go first? Okay. No, absolutely not. I don't want to go first. I would rather have the. But listen, my point to this, Rob.
Yes. And what is it?
The pizza's horrible. Okay. And I'm going to call it out. Okay. Because so we're on the pizza, floating pizza box, right? And we won that. We go there. We get our loved one's lettuce. Well, they also had chicken and they had lettuce and they had all salad and they had all this other stuff. So we tried the pizza. Throw it in for the fishes, and then we ate all the chicken wings, and we had other food. Mm-hmm. When I looked at this, I said, this is all they get? They get this crappy cardboard pizza? That's not right. That's not right, and I'm calling out Survivor saying, don't do that to someone. Don't make them, you know, hold bags up near, do whatever, and then rush back to have this horrible pizza that tastes horrible, and then there should be something else for them there. You know what I mean? Like beers or chicken wings or salad, something else in case they don't like the pizza, because the pizza's horrible.
Okay, well, you know, I'm so glad that we got into this, because I know you've been talking about this all season and tweeting, and so we have somebody who was very upset about all of your complaining about the pizza in Fiji this season, and so we go to these, finale functions. And so we get put in contact with different people that work in production. Mm-hmm. And so that, you know, a lot of people listen to the podcast, especially on location. And so that we got in touch with somebody who is really not happy with you, that he works for the Survivor production. His name is Michelangelo, and he is the person that makes the pizza on Survivor. and he's on the line to give you a piece of his mind.
Well, Rob, I'd love to talk to him because anyone named Michelangelo should not have screwed up pizza so bad in Fiji. Let me tell you something.
Hey, is this Brett LaBelle?
Yes, this is. Is this Luigi or Michelangelo?
Michelangelo, yeah. You know what? I'm mad at you, Brett.
Okay.
You know? I listen to the podcast. I see my people wait all season to see what everyone's going to say about my pizza. And then I got to go on Twitter and then see Brett LaBelle, of all people, who I used to like.
Yeah, well, listen, I can...
Let's talk about how he hates my pizza.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with my... Nobody else complained about my pizza. It was some of the best pizza. Everybody loved the pizza.
Yeah, because, listen, I'm gonna explain something to you, Michelangelo, right now, okay? These people that love the pizza, it's because they're still under contract with CBS. Let me explain something to you right now. You need to have some sauce and some cheese on the pizza, okay? You need some sauce and cheese, and you bake it into a nice little thing in the flour.
When you were in Fiji, there were no complaints about the pizza, and now that all you talk about is the pizza. Every single time you're on Twitter, it's all you bring up. Like, did everybody see the pizza?
Well, the only ones not complaining in Fiji when I was there about the pizza were the fish that we were feeding it to as we threw it overboard. So don't tell me nobody was complaining.
See if you get any more pizza for me.
I don't want your pizza. I'll go to New York or Boston to get pizza from now on. Okay,
all right, Michelangelo, we need to move on. We need to move on. We need to move
on.
Thank you.
Angry man.
Thank you.
Okay. Angry man. Angry Italian.
Michelangelo, the Fiji pizza maker.
And pot painter. Sorry, he does painting on the side.
Ben Taub wants to know, who could drink more beer, Brett or Carl?
Well, this is an excellent question, and this is a question that's been tasked to me a number of times. Bing. Listen, let me just say, guys, Kyle is great. I love his love for beer. I love that we both have a love for beer. We've actually talked about it. We've actually hoisted a beer and drank together, and it's been a lot of fun. You know, and I've been very open with Kyle, and I say, Kyle, this is great that you like beer and everything. And he's like, oh, yeah, you know, if we were on the same season, I'd drink you on the table. And I was like, there's no way Kyle is going to drink Brett LaBelle under the table. And I love the guy, but he's a little guy. You know, he's a little thin. And yes, he can. Don't get me wrong. This guy can pound him down. He can drink beer. Okay. He loves his beer. But I feel like he got a little sloppy on the season, whereas Brett LaBelle didn't get so sloppy. Brett LaBelle was loud and he had fun. But he wasn't talking strategy and throwing, you know, stuff out there that he probably shouldn't have been talking about when he was drinking. You know? So that's all. But listen, I don't take it away from it. I loved all the scenes with Kyle drinking.
Godfather.
Yeah, the Godfather. I was cheering for him. I was like, you go, because I know what it's like to be out there 21 days and then someone throws you a beer and it's just the best thing in the world. Oh, my God. or a white Russian Jackie Treehorn. You know what I mean?
Okay. Josh Sandy Wilson, do you see any similarities in Adam and Angelina's game? They were friends, and Angelina has talked about how that was actually how she got cast on the show, that she was as a friend of Adam Klein, that after he won, somebody from Survivor looked at his Facebook friends.
Yeah, that's interesting. I feel like, and I said this early on, that she might have been, you know, I mean, if he's a friend, he might have coached her a little bit, and I did see some similarities. You know, more so with knowing how to kind of tell their story. Do you know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Yes. So okay. Like being able to, you know, in the confessional.
Yeah, that and just being very calculated in things that they said along the way. You know what I mean? Where I think a lot of these contestants, like take a Kyle or you know, I don't know who else, but a Davey or something like that. It's just they're kind of like going through the motions and they're not really, you know, they're playing the game and not thinking about it, where some people go out there and that's all they're doing is thinking about what they're going to say and how it's going to portray on TV. And I mean, it's two schools of thought on that, but I do see some similarities with her and Adam on that.
Okay. Now, what did you guys do for the finale in terms of like, how did you watch the show?
Well, we had a big party at the Chris Hammond's, my sugar daddy.
Yeah,
Rented us a nice suite in this beautiful two-bedroom suite. Thank God I didn't have to be on the floor again this time, where I got assaulted by Adam Klein in Vegas. But so he had this nice bedroom suite, and we watched with a bunch of former survivors. Terry Fredrickson was there, Tyler, and makes him laugh. He went for me. But no, we had a great time.
Shooting a death stare.
We had Max Dawson. Who else we have? PG.
PG came.
Yeah. Who else am I missing here? Oh, Hollywood was there.
Hollywood Gene.
Oh, good guy. So, you know, we had a bunch of, we watched it there in this really cool hotel called the Suites at Sunset Marquee.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally could not find the place. I had to call. I arrived a couple days ago.
Yeah.
And I'm calling the hotel. I'm like, where are you? And they're like, oh, we're here. We're down here by the trees. And I'm like, yeah, I still can't find it. Well, keep coming. And it's literally this all these bushes just lining the street. You can't see in. It's like a fortress. And finally I found it, and we went into the room, and we realized that this is a place where all these famous people stay. And actually had breakfast. Tyler and I today had breakfast, and next to us was Cyndi Lauper sitting there eating.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Did you ask her if she would do any wand offs?
No, but to be honest with you, the scouring look I was getting from her, I figured it wasn't safe to ask her any questions.
You know, she was giving you a mean look?
Well, I've actually met her once before during her True Colors tour when my buddy Kasia Kressley had me backstage, and he brought us over to meet her, and she was nice, but you could tell she didn't really want to. So I think I was kind of like a little gun shy from that experience. I didn't want to piss her off again, you know, in case she recognized me. You know? But it was fun, and you know, she was humming. Wasn't she humming, Tyler?
She was chewing out the help, is what she
was.
Yeah,
she was not very nice to the help, so we didn't think it was.
Maybe she was having a rough day.
Hey, can we get a selfie? How about a you know, no. So, but no, but the place was beautiful. It was a lot of fun. I mean, you know, listen, my sugar daddy spares no expense, which is really nice.
which is nice.
Yeah. So, and David Wright was there, and he gets a little punchy when he's drinking, so he's punching me. We had a good time. It was great to see David. I'm really excited, as we said, to see him on the next season.
Yeah, so we'll come back to that on coming up on the next season. So then last night, then you guys went out and got to see everybody?
Oh, my God, yeah. We went out and we went to the parlor. We started at the parlor. We saw everyone. I didn't see Andy Dick, and I'm really bummed out about that.
I did see him.
Is he there a lot, really?
I don't know what... I saw him talking with some people last night. So Nicole and I went out then after we got done with the know-it-alls. Yeah, we went out for a little bit.
You guys were having a really good time. You look really relaxed. Like a lot of times at these things, Rob, you're kind of stuffed in the corner. People are like, you know, talking to you, which is, and you don't mind it. I'm not saying like that, but today it seemed like people were kind of leaving you alone when you were with your wife and you guys were having a really good time. I saw, you know.
Yeah, you know, it's nice when, you know, I have Nicole is there. It's nice to, you know, have somebody that, you know, I'm not like, you know, bouncing around as much where, you know, we're sort of like, you know, trying to grab a drink. And it was also like, it was nice. Like the podcast was done. I wasn't like, sort of like, all right, like last December, I think when I saw you, I was like, all right, we're just stopping back here on the way back to, I got to go home and edit videos after this. So it was just like I didn't do the red carpet, so I just had done the podcast, and then was able to come out for a little bit. But got to see a bunch of the players from the season last night.
Yeah, me too. I saw Natalie, who was, oh my God, man, it was funny because
super nice.
Oh my God, was she awesome? She was so much fun and so sweet. And I was like, maybe she's right, you know. And she was she was yelling at Jeff Probst. Like, maybe she's right. Yeah. So I don't know. And I saw, you know, I got to talk to Nick and. Got to talk to really everyone. It was really cool, and it was a good crowd. I'm trying to think.
Yeah, a lot of the Davids were there.
Yes.
I think like all the Davids were there, and then the Goliaths were not all there.
No, they were somewhere else.
They were off at the, there was a, like I guess like there was like a David party and there was a Goliath party.
Yeah. So I mean,
and then some of the Goliaths ended up showing up.
Yeah, they did. But I mean, come on, it's your party. Everyone's there. You know, I'm just going to be straight up. There's something weird going on. I don't know. And I think we're going to find out more. There's some weird stuff going on with this cast.
And
I don't mean it like I love them all. I think they're great characters. but there is some in stuff going on here that is going to come out, and I think it's going to be completely fascinating.
This is not like a Millennials versus Gen X or a Dirty 30 at times where it's one big happy family. No, you're saying there's a lot of infighting in the family.
No, and Tyler, you know, Dirty 30, those guys all get along great.
Well.
I shouldn't say that. But Millennials
at one point,
we all get along really well. You're not going to. This is a different cast. And the fact that you had the Goliaths go somewhere totally different. Mm-hmm. The other ones weren't invited. It's very interesting. It's very interesting to me.
Interesting. Very interesting. Yeah. Then this was like I did not think that my wife was going to end up wanting to go out. I thought she was going to cancel at the last minute because that she had done something with her friends on Tuesday night. I'm like, oh, watch this. You're going to go out with your friends on Tuesday. You'll be in no shape. But we made it. And then it was like classic Nicole where it's like, all right, come on, let's go home and go to bed because I got to do these exit interviews. And she wants to go to Pink's. Mm-hmm. And get like hot dogs at like 1:30 in the morning.
God, so. I love that woman. That's great. And I'll tell you, she looked beautiful last night. And you both look great. You both look like you were having a good time. And I was so glad I got to go over and talk to you for a couple minutes. You know,
yeah,
it's crazy. You can't get a word in. Like you see so many people you want to talk to, and you just don't get a chance. You know,
it's really fun. It goes by very quickly. It's like a blur. And you see somebody, and it's like so. It's a busy night.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, you know, you talk about a lot of different people. So do you get a lot of people come up complaining to you? Or?
Besides, no, that was in the context of the exit interview, and I appreciate that more because at least that's content as opposed to there's been very few people that I've had like, one on one confrontations. It's always rather unpleasant. Mm-hmm. I average about like one a year where somebody comes up to me and is like, I hate you. Mm-hmm. I can't believe what you said about me. I want to fight you. Mm-hmm. I average about one a year, and I don't think I had one in 2018. So
good.
We'll see. So some years I get two, but I think I went 0 for 2018.
I think people need to relax. Like we put ourselves out there. People are going to talk about it. I would like to take a moment and say hi to a couple people I met last night. And
yes.
One's a huge Rob as a podcast fan. The
yes,
other one's
you're doing shout outs.
All right. Well, just real quick, Kylie and Amanda, who I met. Now, Kylie is getting Amanda all into Survivor, and she's kind of already into Survivor, but she's not into Rob as a podcast. Kind of interesting that she doesn't listen, but I think she will now. So I'd like to say hi to them, Kylie and Amanda.
Mm-hmm.
Great meeting you last night. Lovely young ladies.
I talked to them also.
Yeah, they were cool, weren't they?
Yeah.
And then who else? Wait,
this is like having T-Bird in the studio.
Yeah, I know. No, sorry. But it was cool. It was cool. And I got to see all my old producers. I'm sure, Tyler, you can say the same thing. You get to see all the producers from Survivor. It's a great little party. I love going.
Yeah. You were out here last December, right?
Yes, I was, actually. That's the last time I was out here for that. Well, I was out here for your surprise birthday.
Well, I mean for the Survivor finale.
Yeah, for the Survivor finale.
I very much appreciate that. All right. We're going to talk a little bit about the little snippet we saw about the Survivor Edge of Extinction. But first, let me take a moment and thank one of our sponsors here today. Those are friends over at Quip. Brett, you know what the Quip is?
Well, I hope you're quickly going to tell me what it is, because I have no idea what you're talking about. But I'm open to it, Rob. I'm open to anything, you know.
Yeah. Well, I'll give you a hint. It's something that you'll use twice a day that was featured on Oprah's O-List and is perfect for everybody with a mouth.
Toilet paper.
No. wait, is this like when we're doing the $25,000 pyramid?
I was with it until the mouth. You threw the mouth out, but I already had my answer. You know, so I had to go with it. It's like in improv.
Quip is the hottest electric toothbrush that Ooh. Is out there right now with sensitive sonic vibrations, gentle enough on your sensitive gums, with a built-in timer with guiding pulses to remind you when to switch sides. Since we've been talking about the Quip on the podcast, we've had a lot of the listeners tell us that they have gotten their hands on the Quip. They love it too. Quip makes it holiday travel so easy because they've got the great cover. It's like a space age toothbrush that you're going to have. It has the case, which you can go ahead and just throw in a bag and take it with you on the road, as opposed to these other electric toothbrushes that you have to like have like a big rig on your countertop and then plug in. And Quip is great because it keeps refreshing with brush heads automatically delivered on a dentist recommended schedule every 3 months for just $5. And you can even gift prepaid refills for a year to make sure that they're never old or worn out or using ineffective bristles. Quip is the first electric toothbrush accepted by the American Dental Association and has thousands of verified five-star reviews, just like Brent LaBelle.
Rob, let me tell you something. I actually, this is very interesting because, you know, we jest and we talk about toilet paper, but I swear by the electric toothbrush, okay? And my dentist told me to use the electric toothbrush. I'm not going to say the name, but it's not as good as this one because they don't send me new bristles when the dentist says I should have new bristles. So I'm going to tell you, listeners, you should definitely buy this because my gums have never been healthier since I've been using electric toothbrush. Okay, they're white. They're, you know, my dentist says I look tremendous. And then
gums are white?
Sometimes they're too red, your gums. They're supposed to be more towards like the white, like a really light pink.
Your gums are supposed to be white.
They're not supposed to be red and pink like yours.
You need to get gingivitis.
Telling your listeners that they need to go out and buy this. This is extremely important because your teeth health is instrumental to the health of the rest of your body.
That is very important. You are correct.
Ding.
Yes, bing. Okay. So get yourself a Quip or get it as a gift for another person on your list. They've got over 5,000 verified five-star reviews. Quip looks like a big ticket tech gift with a stocking stuffer price starting at just $25. And if you go to getquip.com/Rob, that's getquip.com/Rob right now, you'll get your first refill pack for free with a Quip electric toothbrush. You don't even have to tell the person that you're buying the gift for any of that. Get your first refill pack at getquip.com/Rob. Okay, so
I'm goggling it right now, Rob.
Goggle away.
I'm getting that. Okay. That sounds tremendous.
Okay. Are you gargling or goggling?
Goggling.
Yeah.
Goggling.
Google white gums healthy ? While you're at it.
You have gingivitis. They're too red. They're not supposed to be that red. They're supposed to be like, see how my...
Okay. All right. Is this a new Survivor season of Survivor red gums versus white gums versus blue gums?
Well, I will say my dentist was furious when he saw my teeth. After
gums apart.
Yeah, that was not good. Gums apart.
Okay. All right. We need to get into talking about this next Survivor season. Survivor Edge of Extinction. Brett, are you edging?
I'll tell you what. I am not edging. I am really all over the map on this. I listen to Chris Hammonds. He tells me it's great. I think, and I go, I'm not so sure.
He was edging?
Oh, he's definitely edging. He's a weirdo. I'm telling you, I got between him and Adam Klein, I'll get no rest. It's unbelievable. But I'll tell you, I really am open to this. Okay. So I usually, whenever I hear some new Survivor thing, I go, it sucks. Don't do it. It's going to be awful. Go back to Borneo. But then I calm down and then I listen to people and they tell me why it's good. And I go, you know what? Maybe they have something. This could, and the fact that we have four returning players, mm-hmm. I think this might be good.
Okay, well, this we've got what a crew we have to talk about this because we have one of your friends from Millennials versus Gen X, a fellow Gen Xer is going to be there. And Tyler, one of your friends is going to be back on this season. So this is very exciting.
It's very exciting. It's very.
Kelly and I aren't that close.
Well, David and I are. We fought against each other every day on. And yes. Millennials versus Gen X. But I'll tell you what, we had a mutual respect and we enjoyed each other every day. And he's a great guy and I love him and I can't wait to see how he does.
So we don't know a lot of details in terms of what CBS showed us last night, but the four returning players for the season are going to be the aforementioned David Wright, mm-hmm. Joey Amazing, Kelly Wentworth, and Aubrey Bracco.
Oh, very nice. I love Aubrey too. I love all those. Those four are great. Met them all. They're all wonderful. They've been great to me. So I'm excited to see them all. Of course, you know, my heart goes out to David just because we're so close and I'm hoping he does well. But I hope they all do well. And I think it's very hard for four returning players to come out and be the minority against people that are playing for the first time. I think it's going to be, you know, I think it'll be hard. Some people might say it's easier, but I think it'll be hard for them.
Yeah. Those will be your first four boots. There you go.
Well, that's what I'm thinking, you know.
And it should be, right?
Survivor has not done this before. You know, we've had this in Big Brother where they brought back four people. Most recently, Big Brother 18, I believe, was this format where it was like sort of like a coach's twist. Big Brother 14 was also the same thing where they brought back four people. But I don't think off the top of my head that Survivor has brought back a group of four people. They've done, you know, half returnees versus new players. And they've brought back, you know, they were for a while. They did like, you know, Robin Russell and Ozzy versus Coach. And then they also did, you know, Stephanie and Bobby John both came back. And then they had the one season where they had Penner and Russell Swan and somebody else, I can't remember who it was, that they came back and yes, were sort of like, yeah, they had like some theme. But there does not seem to be any sort of like connective tissue between the four people that they brought back other than some sort of like that they could have, you know, maybe like could have won or got close, where Aubrey is the only one who's been a finalist, but Kelly and David both went out in the four spot. And then Joe, I think, was
Joe is just
he's
Joe.
Yeah, he's gotten in. I think what was he, seventh or eighth?
11th, seventh, I think.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So maybe that's
guy, though. What but, a great guy. He's
but,
just
they, so they, but they haven't really gotten into it. But let me play a voicemail for you, Tyler, and see if we can get to the bottom of something. And this is from one of our listeners, Graham from the Bay.
Hey, oh, Robbio, Josh, and Brett. This is Graham from the Bay. We got a very interesting season coming up, returning players, new format. And I got a very important question regarding 38. What the f*** is up with Joe's mustache? I mean, this dude went from being a Survivor sex symbol for a hot minute to 8-9 seasons later,
and he's gonna go on from there. We don't need to hear the whole thing. There's you know, some more obscenities also, all about the mustache. What a blindside this was, because you know, we're sort of like in the know in terms of like, okay, lots of rumors of like, okay, we had heard who's gonna be back, a little bit about what the format was, but nothing could have prepared me for Joe's mustache last night, Tyler.
Brett, do you think it's a sex symbol?
Well, I'll tell you what. I looked at that and I thought it looked awesome. And I think it takes on its own name. I would call that a mustache.
A mustache.
That's a mustache. That's not a mustache. He went when he turned it up and did all that. It went from being a mustache to being a mustache. So that really deserves its own edit.
Tyler, do you believe that Joe's mustache is strategy? Where Joe, the book against Joe has always been, oh, that he's too threatening. That he's Joey amazing. He's got everything going on. Does Joe say, I'm going to put a not so great mustache so people don't think I'm a threat?
Maybe. Yeah. Or he can trim it and use it to build a fake eye.
Is that what he's going to do?
Or he could use it to climb up the wall, the 5-foot wall to get the
180 foot wall.
Yes.
He does look like a 1970s Oakland A's Topps baseball card.
Yes, so he's got like the enough mustache wax in the Raleigh Fingers mustache to be able to cut it off at some point and then use the mustache side.
Make a fire.
Yeah, looks like a magician, like he's going to pull a rabbit out of his hat or something.
That's his magician name, Joey Amazing.
Oh my God.
All right, so a lot to look forward to as we start to explore the edge of extinction. Brett, you like the name?
No, I don't like anything. No, I mean, I guess I do. I'm hearing a lot of crazy rumors, and I don't even know if we really know what's going to happen. But edge of extinction, from what I can tell, people are either going to, it's going to be polarizing, because I think people are really going to dislike it or they're going to really like it from what I'm hearing. And I don't know if you know, do you have any facts on it, Rob?
None that have been report. I've definitely heard rumors, but we'll probably wait as information comes out in terms of getting more into it as we
I just watched a little bit of the clip.
Yeah,
I didn't really see it. We had a bunch of people over. It's kind of loud. How did Jeff describe it? Because normally if you heard like edge of extinction, you'd then
you want to hear, I'll play the preview.
You've got to describe it.
Yeah, let's dig into it. Let's play the preview. Let's just
our 38th season, a new group group of players will take on the greatest social experiment ever created.
If I want to do something, I just do it. I'm not going to stay here for 39 days and play a boring game. I'd rather get voted up in a blaze of glory. Oh, bursting at the seams, I'm ready to go.
I'm a morning news anchor from Macon, Georgia. I'm a huge fan of the show. I want to come in the game like the Kool-Aid man. I want to break through the wall. Oh, yeah!
They'll be joined by four returning players.
This game will take everything from you, but you also have to give everything to the game. You know, there are archetypes like me that people say will never win. I'm gonna prove them wrong. Third time's a charm, baby.
I know how hard this is gonna be. It can be starving, it can be pouring, but I'm here for the win. That's what I want. I will never quit. I am freaking determined.
And a new layer to the game will push them than ever before.
Where is my game gonna go from here?
You're so alone. I keep telling myself, don't quit.
It's really hard.
I don't know if I can do this.
I'm never gonna give up.
It's Survivor. Edge of Extinction. Premiering next spring.
Edge of Extinction.
I mean, I kind of like the name because it's kind of like got this crazy, like, I kind of like the name. But I will say, after listening to that, it confirms a lot of the rumors that I'm hearing. I think it confirms what I believe is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll talk about that more as we get through the Survivor 38 preseason. We still got a lot to do here in the Survivor 37 postseason. Going to try to work on a lot of these long form interviews here coming up, although it is a little bit of a quick turnaround until we get to Celebrity Big Brother, so we'll see how many that we can get in here in the next couple of weeks as we continue the march over to Survivor 38. Brett, any other thoughts on Survivor 37 overall in terms of like the, you know, Josh talked a lot about best season ever, don't at me, do you have it very high in your rankings? I don't know if you have a whiteboard where you map this all out.
No, I mean, listen, I enjoyed it. I did enjoy it. I liked it a lot. I thought it was exciting. I thought it was great. I thought it was good characters. I don't love a lot of the back stuff going on, and I don't feel like I find it fascinating that two contestants weren't even at the finale. You know what I mean? And I think there's a lot of
that pulls it down for you.
There's a lot of drama behind the scenes, and mm-hmm. that pulls it down.
I love it. I can't. I want more.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know.
Oh, you had it. You had it today.
I got it. I love it. I love that you messy Survivor David versus Goliath. this cast is not all headed to Vegas this weekend.
No, they're not. They're not. It's not. But listen, it was a great season. It was a lot of fun. Everyone played. I mean, that's the one thing you could say is everyone was playing. And I thought it was a great season, and they my hat's off to them.
Okay. Speaking of your hats, Kristen Cole wants to know what moment gets the Brett LaBelle lobster of the season?
Oh, my lobster hat! I should have brought one.
Yes.
I'm thinking. So I'm gonna say who gets the lobster?
What is that? Real quick, what is that award for?
I don't know. She just made it. Ask her.
Oh, it's not a thing? It's not like a Wiggler's wombat. It's a thing.
So no, I as a joke against instead of like being Dr. Mike and be like, hey, Wiggler, come fight me in the ring. I just made a hat as a joke. I wasn't going to actually fight Wiggler, but I was.
It's
I
not
made
bad.
A hat. Yeah. And then.
Knock, knock.
Hey, Wiggler. Knock, knock. I'm knocking on your door. And he burns the hat. That's what I love. He actually burned the hat.
Knock, knock.
You know, against everything, I'm going to give it to Mike White for flipping the Davey vote. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I'm going to give it to Mike White against Rob's wishes, giving it to Mike White. Although I don't think he wants to get a LaBelle lobster hat in the mail from what I can tell.
Yeah.
If there's another Rob as a podcast fan that would love a LaBelle lobster hat, please at me.
Oh, but then you're going to get overwhelmed.
Never mind, don't
at me.
No, at me at the Pineapple Boy.
Pineapple 27. All right. Christine wants to know who gets the Sia money. Now, a lot of people were saying that Angelina was going to get the Sia money because there was a picture on Instagram of Angelina with Sia, but Sia was nowhere to be seen.
Mm. Well, I think, and Zeke will probably agree with me, is there's only certain gays that get to see money, and it's not Brett or Zeke. No. So I don't know. I don't know who would get it, but I don't think Angelina would be up.
What do you think about Zeke on the Survivor finale?
I thought it was great. And I'll tell you, yeah. Nico, I had dinner with him the other night, and he's a great guy and really nice guy. We I love seeing him on there, and it was a great little clip. It was awesome, you know?
Do you like that the Jeff goes through the audience with like a who's who of at the Survivor finale, sort of like, you know, hosting like an awards show? And it's like, oh, wait, look, who's this? Oh, Zeke is here. Zeke, yeah. Who are you with?
Well, I see. I don't mind it when they go to like former survivors. I kind of like that. Like they used to years ago. I remember them going to Russell Hantz, who was in the audience, and they've gone to a couple other people. And I do enjoy that. I would like to hear that. I don't think,
but I think they went to Russell Hantz when he was that the next season coming up was going to be the Russell versus Rob season.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, you had some seriously famous people in the audience last night that they didn't go to.
Yeah,
that we know about now.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's okay. But I mean, I think that there's a cry out there for more time with the people who actually played. And I think,
yeah,
really.
Well, do you feel like they delivered on that last night?
A little.
Tyler shaking his head no.
I'll tell you, the last time I thought it was really pretty good was Millennials versus Gen X. Where
oh,
they,
gosh.
What? Yeah. No, but listen, without you hating on us, don't you think that's the last time they really went into the.
Actually, yeah. It was funny. I turned to you guys. Or I turned to Chris. I think it was like, what time was it? We were watching the East Coast feed. So it was like, I don't know. Anyway, it was something 22 p.m. Yeah. Whatever it was. I'm a little. Been a long couple days.
Oh, listen, you have a drinking problem. I think we need to talk about that.
Yeah, well, it's hard to sleep as well when you're always crawling around me. But yeah.
They're always flattering themselves. But they remember, all want me so bad. It's crazy.
They went in to vote, and it was. I remember looking at you guys going, hey, we've only got about 30 minutes left of this entire show.
Yeah.
It was deep. You might know the time, but it seemed like it was deep into what was supposed to be the reunion. We're still watching the actual
end. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, to be honest, that the Game Changers finale is kind of a blur. I don't really remember too much from anything from Game Changers, if it existed or not.
I know.
But I'm not sure if how the finale was on that one.
No, it seems like I can't remember that either.
Yeah.
There was a lot going on Game Changers.
Yeah.
And I think we're all preoccupied.
But I thought they did talk to a lot of people, no?
Yeah, but there seemed to be, there was something. And then last time they showcased, I think on Heroes, Hustlers, and Heroes. Whatever it is, I got it. HHH, Triple H. They had some guy. Someone came out and it was showcasing another show. Come on, like, and then he.
No, that was Ghost Island. That was
Ghost Island.
Yeah, so
you know, this guy's like, oh, I knew this was on a set. It's like this guy doesn't even know Survivor.
Kevin Hart.
Yeah, Kevin Hart. It's like, why are we looking at Kevin Hart who doesn't? Is saying, oh, look, I proved this was actually on the soundstage. It's like you're a jackass. Get off the screen. Let's talk to the survivors that just spent, you know, 39 days on an island. Like, to me, I don't want to see Kevin Hart in the show that was canceled. I want to see the people that we just watched for the last, you know, 12 weeks. I mean, it's ridiculous. Get CBS on the phone right now, Rob. This is ridiculous.
Okay.
Be nice to Kevin Hart. He's had a rough month.
Now, listen.
Hey, what did, Brett, what did you get
insulting Survivor
what did
when
you,
we should be talking to Ghost Island?
And insult.
You did a lot of insults.
A lot of insults. I was getting, you took it better than I did. I was going to ask you, Brett, what did you think? What did you think about the whole Natalie thing with Jeff?
You said, I thought that was very interesting. Like, why? When do you see a woman, you know, complain about her edit right then and there? And I'm sure it's happened. I'm sure if you go back, it's happened. But
it's a little Dan Foley-esque. But
it was definitely a little Dan Foley-esque, and I did enjoy it. But I don't know, man. But I'll tell you what, I was like, that's ridiculous. Don't say it. Like, just don't go there, because I really liked her on the show. I thought she had some great moments. And I wouldn't be surprised if you see her again. Even though she went out early, I'd still say when she says, your skin's beautiful, baby, after she votes out, I just thought that was completely hysterical. I loved it. It was a great line. But so I was like, don't do it. But then when I met her, okay, she couldn't have been, she was the most unbelievable, nice person. We had a great conversation. She was sweet, gentle. And I mean, I know it's different when you're out there, but I feel like maybe she did get a bad edit. Maybe they didn't portray her the way
she was super great in real life. But
yeah.
When she started talking to Jeff, and Jeff had that moment where he like let it up to the rest of the cast to vote or whatever, the air was sucked out of the room that we were watching it in. Like, I feel like it was pretty cringe.
Yeah, it was. I don't know.
It was hard to watch
a
little bit.
I don't know if that was him. Yeah. I mean, listen, he didn't want 7 people to throw their arms up. Let's just put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that they knew, I better not put my arm up if I ever want to play again. But what I thought was hysterical was, what arm did you see go up?
Yeah, Angelina. Yeah, I don't know if Jeff saw her or not, but she would have, like, you know, she would, you know, she likes to, you know, get some of the airtime in the reunion show. So,
hysterical.
I think she would have, you know, basically any question, I think that she was very excited to jump in also and weigh in on.
People unclear of the concept. It's hysterical.
Yeah, you know, it's a tough spot because, you know, in fairness to Natalie, that she's saying, okay, that's not how I am. That's not how I was. But there's also people that are in their interviews, you know, Natalia, especially, of like, okay, I can't stand Natalie, that she's Natalie is bothering me. I don't like what Natalie is doing this. So the show, unless they're like going to try to make Natalia look like a crazy person, you know, when then Natalia is saying that Natalie is getting on my nerves, then you're going to see footage of when Natalie is doing stuff that's getting on Natalia's nerves, and that, you know, how they put the show together.
Right. Yeah. No. And I mean, listen, there were so many great scenes with Natalia, and Natalie, I'm sorry. And Natalia, really, for that matter. But, you know, I don't know. Why do you think Jeff did that? Let's get to the, why do you think?
I think that he, I do get the sense that Jeff is hurt.
Do you think he was being cruel?
No, I don't think he was, but I think that I think Jeff takes a lot of pride in the show and the way that they tell the story. And I think it was the same thing with the Dan Foley thing, where I think that there is like an insult there of like, hey, like we're not playing any angles here. Like, hey, this, you come out here, this happens, and we show it. We're not trying to, you know, do anybody dirty. And so, hey, okay, Dan, you think that we're doing this? Okay, let's play that footage of, you know, the same thing. And he seemed to hurt with Natalie. It was like a little bit more like, I felt like the Dan Foley thing was a little bit more like, all right, idiot, look, you think that this is going to happen? Like, we're going to embarrass you. Where I feel like that with Natalie, it's like, but Natalie, why do you say that? Like, you know, I would love to know, did we not show what was happening?
Well, I felt like when he first said it, like, well, let's ask everyone. I was like, oh, God, this could backfire on him. Do you think he knew everyone was going to, you know, do you think they know they have that much of a hold on the cast that they're all not going to raise their hand? It was very interesting because literally, what if 10 people put their hand up?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I think what he would have said is like, OK, so it looks like it's something that we'll work on. You know, I think I don't think we would have really had out the whole discussion there. But I think that he felt confident enough about, like, that for the most part, everybody, you know, feels good. And here's what happens. The people that do good feel like, oh, that was, the edit was, mwah, well, perfect.
Right.
I'm sure Christian is like, oh, no, the edit was exactly as you saw it. The first time I played, oh, my God. In the Amazon, they nailed it. The editing was so good. All Stars, no, they don't know what they're doing. So it's, you know, the victors feel like, okay, that was the good edit. The, you know, the people that didn't win feel like, oh, no, they didn't show you half of it. Mm-hmm. So what are you going to do? 42
Unless
minutes.
You come in third place, then you got issues.
I mean, listen, let's just, I mean, they probably all cried afterwards anyway. It was a crying game. I will say Christian and Emily were wonderful people. I got to meet them and they were really cool. And, you know, Gabby, who came running up to me and said, I'm not crying. I was like, oh, no, I didn't mean you all the time. But she was very sweet, and the whole cast was great. I really enjoyed them, you know. But I think, listen, we all are upset about our edits. I don't care who you talk to, but do you really that upset that you're going to, you know, show up the show at the finale? Probably not.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's start to wrap this up. Tyler, any other thoughts about season 37?
You know, it's the same thing I say to my friends, at least not on the podcast, that, you know, watching the little promos always get me fired up, and it's going to be fun to watch a couple of our friends return. It's going to be fun to see what these newbies are doing. So not to slight this season in any way. I had a great time with it, but always really excited about watching those, you know, that 90-second little clip with Jeff and the new and the potential. And anyway, I'll be here to follow along with Rob and listeners. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. You know, I think it's like we all do, right? Okay, it's we've closed that chapter. We're on to the next. And, I have a couple of friends that are in the next one, and I'm really excited for that, you know? So, on to the next. Let's go.
One other thing I'll add, you know, when you look back on the seasons, it's always great to have a winner who kind of not only is the best, whatever that means, there's different definitions of that, but also kind of personifies or sort of can take the mantle. I think Adam does a pretty good job for that. I know for our season, I think Mike is really, really great. I think when I look back, and not only did he beat me, so, you know, good on him, but
he does a great job of representing the season. And I think that Nick is a, it feels like a noble winner. It feels like somebody who can carry the torch forward.
Yeah, he's definitely, I mean, I feel like he's definitely deserving, right? I feel like he went out there, played hard. Right. He was on the bottom a lot. Mm-hmm. He clawed his way to the top. You know, to win three, I mean, anyone who's played, you know, challenges, it knows how hard it is to win three challenges in a row. That's really amazing. And my hat's off to him. He really wanted it. You know, he's a hard worker. He looks like he's always been a hard worker his whole life. I think you got to give the kid a lot of credit. I think he did a tremendous job. And his girlfriend knows how to dress when she's going to go on stage.
I tweeted at Nick last night, or Michelle, actually.
Good lesson.
I called him Nick Fitzgerald. I think he had a kind of a very sort of a Michelle-esque run. And she said, I'd be really excited to see if he wins, and I'd be happy to pass the torch on, so to speak. And I think she does a good job of defining her season. Some people might disagree. I think Nick is a good representation of this season.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's a lot of people that are going to be I mean, listen, everyone seems to have something to say about, you know, somebody, but I think a lot of people agree that, you know, I think the edit showed, because sometimes the edit doesn't, that he was very deserving of the title.
Okay. Great season, down to the finale. Really fun to watch this group, and looking forward to talking with a bunch of people. Not sure if we're going to get that Mike White 3-hour retrospective.
I don't know, but I'll tell you, I think it's going to go viral. I think it's going to be really good. And, you know, I think I'm going to, you know, I have to agree again with Mike White.
Yes.
Your portrayal of it. Yeah. And I have actually a very interesting question. And I think all of Rob has a podcast community wants to know too. What's your thoughts on the fact that, and I know Fishback's on his honeymoon,
mm-hmm.
but how crazy is this that one of his challenges is portrayed and he doesn't get to talk about it?
Is it crazy? I don't know that people have said that, you know, Nick came in and he played the vote steal correctly and then was able to exercise a lot of the Steven Fishback demon. So that people are feeling like that maybe all of the, you know, Steven bugaboo has been put to rest.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, we all love Steven and we're happy for him. And congratulations on the wedding. And I just thought it was cool that the one time he ducks out, there's so much that he has to talk about, you know?
Yeah. All right. So great stuff. You could follow Brett LaBelle. He is on Twitter at Brett LaBelle.
One T.
With one T. And so is Tyler Fredrickson. You can go ahead and follow him. He is at the T Freddy. Yeah. Nailed it.
Only one.
Yes.
Only one.
And hey, real quick.
And that T is for Todd.
Hey, Rob.
Yep, Terry.
And hey, Rob, I'll just, you know, I want to thank you.
Yes.
For another Jimmy. Awesome season. I'm getting serious here.
Okay
sorry. Right? Sorry. Settle down.
Thank you for the content you do, for Josh, for Steven. I mean, you do a lot of work. We know that.
Yes.
And there's a lot of ex players, current players, people who want to play, who listen. Spend a lot of time listening. Appreciate you kind of being the leader of this whole, you know, this other little world that we get to listen and talk.
Yes. Well, Tyler, thank you very much. Yes. This is the end of the 18th season that I've covered here on Rob is a Podcast. And so we'll get ready to kick off another one coming up. We'll get to meet all these people, I guess, in January. So very fun. Thank you guys both for hanging out here.
It's so cool to actually have been in studio, Rob. I've been on your podcast so many times, you know, and it's so fun to be here.
We know you've been on.
And well, Tyler, you know what? If you were a little nicer to the Rob as a Podcast fans, you might be there too. Okay. All right. And I'll tell you, this is so cool to see all the artifacts and the cool stuff that people have sent you over the years, and the fishies in the corner and Mr. T, and there's all kinds of cool pictures of you playing Survivor Rob. This is really neat to be in here. It's really cool.
Yeah. Well, so nice to have you in here in the studio. Hope we can do it again sometime soon. We got a lot of big stuff coming up here in the next couple of days and even between now and the end of the year. So be on the lookout for that. And thank you guys again for another season of supporting Rob is a Podcast. For more information about our patron community, robhasawebsite.com/patron. Thank you guys both, and Scott St. Pierre, for putting this all together. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.